Well, Paul Dixon joins us. The name of the book is Leo Durocher, D-U-R-O-C-H-E-R. Paul, a wonderful writer. He's the author of Bill Veeck, Baseball's Greatest Maverick, which I thought was a fantastic book on the great Bill Veeck. And Paul has added again with the Leo Durocher book. Paul, nice to have you on with us.
Great to be with you tonight.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about Frankie Frisch, not to jump ahead here, the old manager, the old coach of the Giants. He used to say, them bases on balls. And I guess you don't say that with Jeff Samardzija.
It's not.
not at all. All right. Paul, tell us about the book. And, of course, Leo Durocher, a very important part of New York Giants history, Brooklyn Dodger history. And it's plus, before that, you got the Gas House Gang and Babe Ruth and the whole thing. What a life he had in baseball.
It's extraordinary. There probably isn't anybody who has the same moments that this guy does. He plays for the Murderers Row Yankees. He plays for the Gas House Gang Cardinals. He plays for the Reds. He plays for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He helps bring up Jackie Robinson. He's suspended from baseball for a year. Then he goes over to the Giants, and he's there for the bringing up of all the great players: Henry Thompson, Lonnie Irvin, Willie Mays. He's there for the miracle of Coogan's Bluff. He goes on, and he's beyond that. He goes to the next place he stops is going to be the Cubs, where he goes up. The miracle year for the Mets was. Durocher was the goat in that whole 1969 season. Ends his career with the Houston Astros, where he's battling the Union. So he's gone from Prohibition New York. Now his first game for the Yankees, debut game October 2nd, 1925. The heart of Prohibition, the gangsters, the nightclubs, the speakeasies. He starts there, and he ends up in the post-Apollo moon landing Astrodome.
I love it. I love it. Paul Dixon with it. It's a great book. It is just, Paul, the first one on Bill Veeck was terrific. This is even better. I really like it. They called him the All-American Out.
Yeah.
That was one thing. And he got into a Babe Ruth. He was accused of stealing Babe Ruth's watch.
He had a larcenous history. And again, nobody really knows if he actually stole his watch, but Ruth went to his grave believing that he had. And, of course, once the story got out, when Durocher was managing, even through the Dodgers years and the Giants years, the opposition would often sit there with a swing an imaginary pocket watch and go tick-tock, tick-tock. And, of course, Leo would go crazy. But he doesn't go, the Yankees hate him. The players on the team, all the Murderers Row guys hate him. He's selfish. He's self-indulgent. He's egocentric. He goes on to he finally finds his real place with the Gas House Gang. He loves to cheat. He loves to, deface the ball for Dizzy Dean by hitting a belt buckle with a razor sharp edge to it. So he cut the ball before he gave it to Dizzy Dean, and then Dizzy Dean throw the ball, and the ball would go all over the place because it had been defaced. But he loved the rough and tumble guys on that team, and he becomes the soul of New York after a while. He's the boulevardier. He's more likely to be in a nightclub than he is in some skull session for the next days.
Come on, he had a floating crap game in his apartment with George Raft, and then he got suspended for a year. I mean, everything that could possibly happen to a human being in and out of baseball happened to Leo Durocher.
He's the only manager in history with a playhouse revolt, but he actually has two. He has one in 1943. And one in 1970. He has one with the Dodgers in Brooklyn, and he has one in 1970 with the Cubs, who the team hates him so much that they have a clubhouse meeting, and Ron Santos tries to kill him.
I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Gets him in a headlock.
And he's in the Hall of Fame, considered one of the great managers.
Well, explain this to me, Paul, and Marty, help me out here. Obviously, I've heard some of the tales of Leo Durocher, but was he a great baseball player? I mean, 17 years, and his career batting average was around, what, 247? So if he was hated and he wasn't an elite baseball player, why'd he stick around for 17 years?
He was a phenomenal shortstop and maybe the best of his time.
Yeah.
Haywood Hell Brown said he was the best shortstop of the pre-World War II era. And part of it was he could make plays that nobody else could make. In fact, when he first comes up in Hartford, He comes up with the Hartford Senators in 1924, and that's where the Yankees pick him. The Yankees, you know, they see he's a terrible hitter, but, man, the guy can make plays. And there are cases where he pulls off a double play that nobody else could have pulled off. And he moved around the shortstop position like a cat. He can get balls that nobody else can get. That's what keeps him in the game.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was really scrappy.
Amazing.
He stole bases.
Paul Dixon with us. The book is Leo DeRocher. Paul, I teased it before you came on. And, you know, look, I lived in Brooklyn. I had no idea ever that he had managed the Brooklyn Dodgers. For me, growing up, was Leo DeRocher. He was a Giant. And I said to the fans, because it happened right around the All-Star break in 1948, he was suspended in 47 by Happy Chandler. He came back to manage half of 48. The Dodgers were pretty much through with him. And one night, he's a manager of the Dodgers. The next day, you wake up, he's a manager of the Giants. And not only that, but he ends up marrying Lorraine Day, who's a movie star, a very famous movie star. So it's like you go to bed Sunday night, and Bruce Bochy, you wake up Monday morning, Bruce Bochy's managing the Dodgers, and he's married to Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, no, at the time,
that's
I was a kid.
Deal.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only time. Remember the old Dow Jones ticker, you know, the actual ticker they used for ticker tape. When he goes to the Giants, the only time they ever put a sports story on the ticker. It's the biggest news in this history. The New York Journal American has a headline, which they in the newspaper is they call the Second Coming. You know, DeRocher goes across the river. I mean, people were crazy. It was like Sherman taking over the Union Army.
It's true.
The Confederate Army or something. It was phenomenal.
The
hatred between the Giants and the Dodgers in those days was the stuff of bar fights and you name it. It was a real difference, cultural difference between Brooklyn and Manhattan.
You capture it beautifully, beautifully in the book, as always. You really have a knack for making a colorful story and telling a story about two very colorful characters. One would be Bill Veeck and the other one is Leo DeRocher. You pick good subjects that are maybe the two most colorful in baseball history. The book, I assume, is at all the regular outlets?
Absolutely. We're doing really well with it. We just went to an audio tape version, but we've got the book is out now. Amazon, all the local bookstores have it, which came out a couple months ago, but we're really selling a lot of copies, and I'm very, very happy with it.
No, I believe it. I read the whole book. I read, Paul, I told you that when I got it, I read the whole book, and a lot of times I can only skim through it. I read the whole book, and I loved it. So the Book Tree up in Montclair, David, they'll have it up there as well here in the Bay Area. Love having you on, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Love your show.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
All right. Paul Dixon.